My voice to the sound of my voice this morning. Good morning, good afternoon, or probably good evening at your own location there. Thank you for joining us this morning on Family Essence. I want to believe week has been great, and I want to believe God has been faithful to us. It is a good thing to come into the presence of God to learn at the feet of Jesus. And I want to say a thank you to you all for joining this morning. And I want to pray that God will continue to give us the grace to continue to abide in His presence in Jesus' name. And I want to say that God is faithful. His words are true. He's faithful to His words, and of course, He will continually remain faithful to His word. So this is Family Essence. If you're joining us this morning, thank you so much for joining us. What we do is together in God's presence and to pray to God and to learn at His feet and to understand the mind of God and what He has to share with us. And I want to believe that as we tag along, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Because this is the Boat Christian Ministry, and it's about fellowship. It's about sharing the, proclaiming the love of God and to herald the message of His kingdom and the hope of eternity to the hope of eternal life, to announce the hope of eternal life to as many that are willing to enter into the kingdom of God. So I want us to bow our heads as we come into God's presence. I want us to worship God and praise God for all that God has been doing in our lives. Let's thank Him. It is a good thing to come into God's presence, to learn at His feet, and it's a good thing to always give thanks to God for His good, His mercies endure it forever. Let's close our eyes as we pray, as we begin to thank God and appreciate Him for the gift of life that He has given, He alone has given to us. Let's thank Him for how the Lord has been faithful to us. He has been looking at our lives, providing for all our needs according to His own riches. Let's thank Him for the gift of life. Let's thank Him for preservation. Let's thank Him for protection. Let's thank Him for His sustenance. Let's thank Him for how far He has brought us, how far He has helped us, how far He has been good to us. Let's open our mouths and, you know, bless the name of the Lord, for He is good, His mercies endure it forever. I will sing praises unto the name of the Lord. I will give thanks to the name of the Lord. I will give praises to the name of the Lord. I will sing, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. We will give thanks unto Him, for God is good, His mercies endure it forever. For God is good, His mercies endure it forever. Let's appreciate God because He's good. Let's appreciate God because He alone is God. He alone is God. There is none beside Him. There is none above Him. There is none beside Him. He alone is God and is able to do that which He wants to do in our lives. Let's appreciate Him for everything that He has been to us. Let's thank Him for His goodness, His mercies upon our lives. Let's thank Him for His grace, His love. Let's thank Him for everything that God has been to us. He has deemed it fit for us to be able to partake in this in Family Essence, the program here. Let's thank Him because it is not by power, not by might, but by the mercies of God, by the goodness of God, by the grace of God, by the power of God that work in us. Let's thank Him for His good. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. We're going to pray to God and talk to God that as we gather this today, we're going to pray that God Almighty will speak to our hearts, will speak to our lives, that the words that would be spoken today will not just be from immortal men, will come from the throne of grace to minister lives to us, that our word will change our lives, and God will cause his words to be mixed with faith in our heart to transform, to change, and to make and mold and shape our lives the way God wants it. In the name of Jesus, that the word spoken today, the word of God, will touch our hearts, will touch our lives, will transform us, will make us better believers, better Christians, in the name of Jesus. That on this pilgrim journey to the kingdom of God, the Lord God Almighty will strengthen our faith as we come into his presence, in the name of Jesus. That our faith will be steered and our faith will remain strong in God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for today. We appreciate you for who you are, for your position in our lives. Thank you for your goodness upon us. Thank you for your mercies, your love, your grace. Thank you for making it possible for us to be gathered today on Family Essence. We give you all the praise. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all you've been doing in our lives since the beginning of this week to now. We pray, oh God, that more you would do in our lives in Jesus' name. As we lay at your feet this day, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and lives through your engrafted word that is able to save our soul. In Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Father, for now it is done. I pray that you open our hearts, open our mind, open our understanding to be able to receive your word through your grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. Let your mercy rest upon our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. All right, I want to say thank you for joining us again. And of course, today we will be looking at an interesting subject here on Family Essence. And it talks about what God intended as well, and how God intend to achieve his purpose in our lives. And sometimes we've seen people extend probably a right hand of fellowship to us, and it doesn't come from the place of love. It doesn't come from the place of it doesn't come from the right place, because there's an expectation, and perhaps at work you discover that someone tried to be nice to you, but maybe it's not from the right it's not from the right heart. But then the essence of fellowship is still love. Sometimes people offer help to us. They offer to help us, but they expect something. We can read it that they expect something else in return, but we cannot tell exactly what it is and all. So this morning we will be looking at the word subject charity. C-H-A-R-I-T-Y, charity. And we'll be, looking at this word in the right context of it, and how, what it means to be charitable. What does it mean from the place of the scriptures, and what charity has become in the world today. And I'll be reading from the text, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Apostle Paul, while writing to the church at Corinth, actually gave an insight into what the word charity, what the word love really should be, and how it should be demonstrated, and what are the implications of charity, what are the things that it comes with, basically. The word charity basically it means love. But that same love, it goes beyond you just spelling out the word love. This is a love that does come without, that is being offered to another without any kind of expectation. It's more or less like an advanced kind of love, which is sacrificial in nature. So I'll read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be born, and I have not charity, profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity wondeth not, it is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not a horn, it is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, and rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, Paul the Apostle actually wrote to the church at Corinth. Most of Paul's writing were written more or less like, you know, I think that will be the last writing, basically, because he's writing from the place of suffering, from the place of pain, from the place of what is really happening in the church context, in what is going on in the church, basically. The church at Corinth, they pride themselves a lot in the gifts of God that they have. They pride themselves in a lot of gifts. It's a rich church. It's a church that basically you wouldn't, you know, even if you attend the church, you know something will be offered to you. You can't. They are not basically lacking anything. But in that same church, there were a lot of frivolities going on. There are a lot of activities that are almost, you know, Christian. Basically, you can tell that there is strife, there is envy, there is jealousy, there is division. There are a lot of things. And then Paul the Apostle had to come in quickly because it was reported to him that there's an issue here in the church. So we need an apostolic intervention. So to create a kind of balance, that was the reason why Paul actually wrote these some of these epistles, basically, to the different churches in Philippi, the church in Colossae and all that. So in this context, charity is not what it is right now. These days, people offer help, offering it from the place of love, but that love is not selfless. It's not from the place of a sacrificial kind of love. So most of the time, when parents raise kids, some parents basically raise kids with the hope of getting something back from them. Some parents raise kids or offer help to, maybe at work, some people offer help with the hope of, you know, getting back at you when they needed a promotion. They can say, oh, I helped you here, you have to help me now. So that is not a sacrificial love. So Paul had to come in to say, see, we need balance here.
We need balance. Let's really look at the word charity. When God offered his son, his only begotten son, Jesus, to the world, Jesus Christ said, I gave my life. I can take it. I can decide that I don't want to die for the sin of the world. I can decide that because I already have a place in heaven. I can. But how then can the scripture be fulfilled? How then can we live without sin? So he had to offer himself, which is sacrificial in nature. That's the reason why the cross is potent in nature. It's potent, it's spiritual. You know, the life of Christ being offered, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary shouldn't be taken for granted. Okay? And there is nothing that you do if you offer and help or to help someone without you being feeling some kind of pain. It may not be from the place of love. It may be from the place of expecting something back. You remember the good Samaritan, that offered help, in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 25, where a priest came in, these people that came, they want to offer help, but they put themselves forward, like they consider themselves first, that if I'm going to help this man, I'm going to be spending a lot of money. And I think the one I asked only my savings. I don't want to touch that savings. Because if I help him now, I have to buy this. So it's they don't want to go through that sacrifice. So they had to thus, move away. And they thought about themselves first. So love put away self. You have to that's the essence of this word charity goes beyond just spending out the word love. It is sacrificial in nature. The Bible talks about Abraham who believed God and it was imputed for him for righteousness. When God instructed him, the book of Genesis chapter 22, to offer up his son Isaac, you discover that it's strange for God to make that kind of demand from a man and then, he waits to expect to see what, but Abraham knew his walk with God at some point has been tested over time. Then he believed, if God says I should offer this person, I don't have a choice. He is my creator. He is my maker. He knows what he's doing. So he had to. So I think a lot of us, we need to come to that understanding that love should be offered from the place of nothing. You are not thinking about yourself. You're not. A lot of us, some of us probably I think there was a time I had some money on me and something, God told me to give a particular amount from that money. And I look at the denomination, I was like, okay, hold on, please, let's be balanced here and all that. So Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep it. The commandment is supposed to shape us in the way God wants. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I have instructed you, but if you love me, you keep. So that love does not come ordinarily. It comes from the place of sacrifice. So anything that is called the cross, anything that is called is sacrifice, is attached to sacrifice. Entering into the kingdom is attached to sacrifice. The place of sacrificial love, offering sacrificial love, at work, anywhere we find ourselves, at home, whatever position we are, it's about sacrifice. The kingdom of God is about, entering the kingdom of God is about sacrifice. So some people offer help with the hope of expecting something back. That is even not love. True love acts without any expectation. So if you come to my house and I offer you, I garnished everywhere, I prepared a table, I did everything and all that, I went to the market, I bought this, I sliced this, I garnished the table, for the person I'm receiving to come in. Then the person came in, ate all the cook they can, and then, you know, finished some things up, and then went to the house. And then it's their turn. Maybe they just decide to host you, and then they just bought pizza. You know, whereas you spend more when you're inviting them. But then they just, you know, bought pizza, which is like maybe they spent 30 maybe in today's Canadian dollars, maybe they spend just $50 or further. But you, when you hosted them, you spend more than $100 to host them. And then you are kind of pained, you're kind of thinking, why would they offer me pizza? I mean, did I tell them I'm hungry for pizza and all that? You know. So that means you were expectant. You didn't do that hosting from the place of love. True love does act without expectation. When you give somebody something, you are not expecting anything from them. Because what? Your reward won't come from that person. Your reward comes from God. And God can decide to channel anything to you from any angle. So, love, in a true love itself, comes with its sacrificial in nature. And there are some kind of love that are corrupted. And there are some kind of love that are exaggerated, basically. So, sometimes it's there are different kind of examples I could give, but the point I'm making here is that whenever we say we love someone, we have to mean that we love the person by our standards. By our standards. We have to. Some parents, not all, have decided to look away from their kids, you know, maybe while growing up, they spent a lot of money on the child. And then when the child grew up, they decide to, you know, maybe give them a call like twice a week or once a week or maybe once in a year. And then they are kind of pained, which I understand as a parent. I mean, you have a child, you spend a lot of money, and then you did all that, and then, you know, and then when you are now old and you cannot move around again, you expect the child to accommodate you in their own house, to care for you, to do all that because of that. That is not genuine love. That is not genuine love. Genuine love comes with, you are going to have, you, there's a pain that comes with sacrificial love. And you're not expecting anything that you do to come back to you the way you offered it. It comes with sorrow. And that was the reason why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Wait, nobody wants to suffer in this church. Everybody just wants everything to be, you know, wait, we need to have a balance here. So charity suffereth long and it's kind. There's a suffering attached to love. If we really want to talk about love in the real context of love, Jesus Christ offered himself. The Bible talked about him loving all to the uttermost. He laid down his life in John 10:18, you know, talks about that. You know, the book of Revelation talked about the angels that fought with the beast, fought with Satan. The Bible said they love not their life. They love not. There's no life. They decide we are, this one is why? Because of the love. Love. Love suffers. If you are not ready to suffer, you are not ready to offer the right kind of love. Either to your neighbor, either to your co-worker at work, either to anyone. Yes. So paying the price is what God has called us to do. At some point in time, there will be a bold demand on our life to love sacrificially. Yes, to love sacrificially. It might be, maybe, it might not even be in the place of offering money. It might be from the place of income. Inconvenience is not going to be convenient at all. It may be you missing certain hours of work, you know, missing certain hours of work, missing it. So there will be a demand on our lives to offer sacrificial love. And perhaps some of us have, maybe we're in that season, or maybe some have gone through that season before, or maybe some have entered into the season. So maybe some are about to enter into the season. So when a man and a woman wants to marry, they begin to read marital vows, they begin to exchange words and all that. I will love you till I will do this, I will do that. And maybe they send messages to each other before they got married. When they were cutting, they would, okay, I love you, and all that. And all that. They will, that love that you are, that love messages and, communication that is going on will be tested at some point. Yes, it will be tested. And when it's tested, you begin to find out that, wait, the love that I said I have, where is it now? And that's the reason why when we say we love, we should not love the way the world loves. And Paul the Apostle is telling the church at Corinth, that even though you have all gifts, you speak to angels every morning, like you speak to them, and you have no sacrificial love in you. You are just like a sounding bar, brass, and a tinkling cymbal. If you like, prophesy. If you like, have gift of revelation, and if there is no love, it is nothing. If you have faith and you can remove mountain, you can say sickness, oh yeah, disappear, and you have no love. Is all that is nice? Yes, all that is nice. If you like, open a charity organization. In fact, most of the things we call charity organization today, they are, somebody is looking for work and then decide to go into a charity. Someone decide to work for a charity organization, and then maybe they help, they give people food and all that. And the person, the purpose of the person, not that the person doesn't have money, or someone volunteered to work for a charity organization, maybe like once a week and all that. And he did that so that he too can decide to scoop from the proceeds of that charity organization, maybe to get some rice, to get some cup of cup, some things, food basically, or finances from that same organization. That's the intention. Not that the person is not working on his own, not that the person doesn't have any plan to cater for themselves, but the purpose for going into that, volunteering for that charity is not, that person does not have any love in him. There's no love. There's nothing like sacrifice. Yes. True love is sacrificial. From the book of Genesis down to is sacrificial. Is about sacrifice. True love is about sacrifice. And if you met anyone who have offered true love to you before, and then they grow old, and then they didn't even mention that thing to you once, that tells you that it's sacrificial in nature. If that person comes to you and they start making demands, maybe, I sponsored you from when you were in nursery school, when you were in kindergarten, till when you finished high school or you finished college, I was the one that catered for you. That is not love. And the person is now demanding from you, placing demands on your life that you should reciprocate. True love does act without expectation. And there is no genuine love that is offered amongst men without sacrifice. You see someone who comes into a leadership position, maybe in a country as a president, or in a nation as a prime minister, or king in a particular community, or a counselor, and and all that. And then the person comes in, and then it could even be in church. The person comes in and then begins to restructure a lot of things to favor himself. And maybe 1 year in office, the person, you can tell what the person has in his account. You can tell the different houses built in different nations of the world. Just 1 year, you can tell the different things going on around the person's life. And then yet, the people that the person is meant to lead, the, you know, the person is not laboring to make sure that, you know, things are okay, things are going on right, you know, the roads are tiled, you know, everything is going on the way it should be. The person is not putting in effort in the office, you know, but the person is amassing wealth, wealth is just coming in. And then the nation is getting poorer, going bankrupt, everything is just, you know, and all that. So the person put himself first, not from the place of love. Not from the place of love. It's possible for someone to be an entrepreneur and be rich before, you know, even becoming the president or the, you know, whatever is going on in that country. But the person's responsibility is to make sure that there is growth, there is development, there is, you know, all these things the person is saddled with and all. So there is nothing that can be achieved without the place of sacrifice. Nothing. Nothing can be achieved. Nothing. No two friends can walk closely with each other without sacrifice. Without sacrifice. Genuinely, no two friends can walk with each other. No man and a woman, a husband and a wife living in the same home cannot walk, even if it looks as if they are walking together and then they appear in the same clothes when they come to church or they go to a function, you know, and all, and it appears to everybody that these people, I think they are united. Just wait for it. It won't take long that you start hearing things. And that's the reason why the rate of divorce and everything is going, because the love that people are saying they are offering is not, what they bring to the table is not from the place of sacrifice. So today we are learning, you know, charity and how true love is perceived from the highs, from the highs of God. What exactly is true love? True love is sacrifice. It is attached to sacrifice. And I want to believe God has blessed us today. And it's time for us to start, you know, thinking about our lives and looking at, you know, the demand that God is placing on our lives to offer sacrificial love, to love, you know, those around us, to love our family, to love everyone around us. What are we doing about it? So if there is a demand on your life to love people without any expectation, do it. Do it. Just go all out for it. Yes, there is a reward for sacrificial love, but it won't come the way you expect it to come. No, it won't. It won't. I want us to bow our heads as we pray together. I want us to talk to God. Here we've learned about charity, we've learned about love, we've learned about the essence of love, we've learned about what true love is and how it should be offered, and what are the proceeds from it, and how has our life been, have we been offering true love to those around us, in our career, at our place of work, anywhere we find ourselves at all, have we been offering true love? Or do we have any reservation or any expectation from the love we've offered in the past, you know, between husband and wife? How are we loving each other? Are we loving each other sacrificially, or it's because there is a wealth attached to something, and then you are there because of that wealth, and then, you know, what kind of love are you offering in your home, in your office? Anywhere you find yourself, what kind of love are you offering? Is it sacrificial in nature, or is just a love that is just, you know, just what the word called love, basically? Let's bow our heads as we pray together. God will help us to offer sacrificial love from this time ends in the name of Jesus. Let's ask God for grace to be able to offer sacrificial love wherever we find ourselves. Wherever we find ourselves, let's pray that God will help us, will give us the grace to offer a sacrificial love wherever we find ourselves in Jesus.